Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman. On today's segment, we have an NWSL is back weekend recap for everybody. What a weekend. We can't wait to talk about it with all of you. We're going to start with the game that was most recent, but we're also going to maybe navigate some thank yous and some gratitude. This is going to be a real gratitude episode. But before we get into everything, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Attacking Third. We're also available as video, so hit subscribe. Subscribe to us at youtube.com/attackingthird for previews, recaps, and exclusive interviews. I'm so happy to be back doing this with you, pal. How you doing? I just saw you.
I know. It's so fantastic. Usually we jump on these and I'm like, how was your weekend? What'd you do? We text usually over the weekend about the games, but I'm like, how's your family? What'd you do this weekend? Yeah. What'd you get up to? We hung out all weekend. So it's great to see you again, Sandra. It's only been a few hours since I last saw that stunning face of yours, and it's great to be back. And we got NWSL back this weekend. We got CONCACAF W Championship starting tomorrow, Monday. The U.S. kicks off against Haiti. We've got all that coverage on Paramount Plus, and we've got it all here on Attacking Third because you and I will be doing previews of all those matches, live recaps with Lori Lindsay. It's the next 2 weeks are hectic, and the fact that I started July in Los Angeles at a NWSL match with you hanging out is pretty fantastic. How are you holding up on this lovely Sunday evening?
I'm doing all right. It was, like I said, it was a wild weekend. I loved being out in Los Angeles to sort of kick off the CONCACAF W Championship. We had a couple of great guests join us on Attacking Third with, you know, legends, quite frankly, of the region, with Brianna Scurry, Karina LeBlanc. It was great being able to do something like, we've done these live, right? But they're live virtually, and we get to hang out with folks in the chat and people, you know, connect with each other here. But it's different when you're doing that in person a little bit. And it was like the first time that you and I actually got to meet in person as well. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of great being able to kind of be in that environment and honestly just sort of witness an Angel City atmosphere a little bit. So I just want to thank everybody very quickly for, you know, joining us during that event, coming through and getting some free swag. This is where I got the bucket hat from over the weekend. And, you know, thank you to anyone new who's joining us, because, you know, if you were hanging out with us and learning about us for the first time, and if you're here and following us now, welcome. This is what we do on Attacking Third. We're going to start recapping some NWSL matches. We're going to talk about that Angel City and Portland game and get a little bit more into the day's events there. But we want to start with the game that's probably more fresh in everybody's mind, which is Orlando Pride versus Racing Louisville. This was a very we're talking about events that took place all weekend. This one taking place at Daytona International Raceway. It just was a unique event, the first of its kind for Orlando Pride to sort of be participating in, and they came from behind to secure a draw 2-2 in this one against Racing Louisville. We were texting each other a little bit through it. Lisa, why don't you share your feelings of the match a little bit with the audience tonight?
Well, I have to preface my thoughts on this match because when we did our preview for this weekend's NWSL slate of games, you wanted a lot of draws. And I restricted you. I said you couldn't have that many draws. You had to make picks. You had to give me a hard and fast out. And this one ends in a draw. Neither of us saw that coming. So huge shocker there. But
I think both have Louisville?
Yes, we both have Racing Louisville.
Okay.
And ultimately, that's how this game was looking until Orlando turns things on. They turn things around. 59th minute, it's Darian Jenkins who ends up getting on the board first for Orlando Pride. But there's so much more about the atmosphere of this match. It was in Daytona. It was at a raceway. They did this game was on CBS Sports Network, and they did a great little preview of how the field was built. And one of the first things I noticed, and Jen Hildreth and Ali Wagner actually talked about it ultimately on the broadcast, is that this field was so much more narrow than Exploria, than Lynn Family Stadium, than any other field in the NWSL. And that's a huge factor in this league, especially when you look at two sides like Orlando Pride and Racing Louisville that use the width, that exploit themselves getting up and down the flanks, creating those 2v1 opportunities, sending crosses in. So automatically shrinking the field changes how this game is going to be played out. And it played to Racing Louisville's advantage for 50 minutes, I'm going to say. Orlando had their random breakthrough moments, but the first 50 minutes of this match was all Racing Louisville. They controlled a lot of the tempo of this game. We saw a lot of player rotation, which we knew we were going to see. That's how the theme is going to be in the league over the next month. But different rotations with different players ultimately I'm really impressed with Orlando and their fight and their will to come back. And I think that plays a lot to the experience and the stadium and all of the Orlando fans that were at Daytona this evening.
You know, it's just the franchise has been going through it. I'll just, you know, put it out there. Like they've made headlines for reasons that they probably don't want to be making headlines for. When we're looking from this team where they were last year going into this point in the season this year, the amount of players that have departed from this club raises a lot of unfortunate eyebrows out there. You know, the ongoing investigation that's taking place. And this is all like ahead of this event that was already planned for a little while and sort of seeing the players go out there and compete and try to, you know, get a result, you know, in light of all this stuff, I was happy for them to sort of see them kind of spearhead this comeback in the second half. And we've been seeing some pretty interesting stuff, you know, around Twitterscape, I guess we'll say, you know, we had their, I guess their president of operations sort of saying like, hey, like we're going to squash any rumors right now. We love Orlando Pride. We're like trying to ensure that we build something unique and special here. And I think like that's something that I think that's ultimately my takeaway from this game. I was reacting to it, obviously, on Twitter. We tweet through things sometimes here. And that was kind of my biggest takeaway from this. You know, we saw this sort of depleted squad right now go out there and spear a second half comeback, snatched away a point in a unique place. I said that this was an event. I don't know if this is an event that the franchise is going to want to see themselves, you know, continuing being a part of or try to make it something annual. But I did like that it was different and unique, and it caters to the Florida market specifically. And they had Orlando Pride as like the headliners essentially of this event because it was a big event. You had like all kinds of things going on. It was a soccer fest.
The rapper
was there performing, but Orlando Pride.
I love the halftime interview with Marissa Pilla and Chance the Rapper. I was like, this is amazing. Like,
I know it was pretty funny.
Text Marissa and be like, yo, how was Chance?
I was laughing about it too, because I was remembering, I was like this one. I remember I was at the game that he was at. He went to a Chicago Red Stars game in 2019, I believe. And it was when they lost against the Orlando Pride. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this is a thing. Like, maybe it's a little bit of a good luck charm there for the Pride. Well, we'll see. They didn't lose. But, you know, hopefully for me, those were my takeaways from this, that it was a unique event. It caters to the Florida market. You know, they were the headliners. They were front and center of to sort of close this big night out. And, you know, hopefully with this ruling, maybe that can lead to some better things. If not, maybe a boost in morale across personnel for the team. So we'll see. I don't think it, you know, it's, we're going to get to this more later on into the episode. It's not going to do too, a draw for both of these teams is not going to do too much in the standings, but no. That's how it shook out tonight for the two of them.
Between these two sides, though, the goals were fantastic. I mean, Amina Ekic opening the scoring for Racing Louisville in the 34th minute or so. This was a great goal from Ekic. This is a player that when she finds space and she can shoot the ball, we've seen her do it on set pieces. We've seen her do it in the run of play. She's growing. And this is a good opportunity, right? Like this next stretch where there's so many internationals gone, is a real opportunity for other players to shine, whether they've been getting consistent minutes before or they're starting to get more and more minutes throughout this next 3 weeks. But players like Amina Ekic, who has done tremendous all year, right? Even last year in the NWSL, she did well, but her progression, and now we're starting to see her take on more of an influential role in these matches. And she gets the opening goal for Racing Louisville, and then Savannah DeMello. I mean, like, the name of the game against Racing Louisville is do not foul within 25 yards of the goal, because they've got Savannah DeMello. They've got Amina Ekic. They've got players that can put the ball on frame. We saw Savannah DeMello do it, her second set piece goal for Racing Louisville this year. The rookie, she gives them this doubles the lead for Racing Louisville in the 51st minute. And that was, I thought it was going to be a bit of a momentum switch for this Racing Louisville side and Orlando. But then Sam Hyatt and Orlando Pride, they make some substitutes. We saw Michaela Clough get into this match. I was surprised to not see her get the start. So then to see her come into this match, right? Like,
I was too. I was like, where's Abby Kim? Like, you know, I'm just like,
where are these certain players? But then when we see them come rotated in, it was Carrie Abello that came in at that point, and then Michaela Clough, formerly Coulihan, and Clough influential in this game as soon as she steps on the pitch, right? She plays that central midfield role. She can switch the point of attack. She has this almost like je ne sais quoi on the ball to know how to find the ball, know how to find her teammates. She reads the game very well. She finds the pocket. She plays those slip ball through, and that's what ultimately started the scoring for Orlando Pride. Darian Jenkins, she gets on the board. Or she gets the assist on this one, excuse me, for the goal from Strom, which first NWSL goal for Strom. This was a great goal. I really like this one. The second goal, Darian Jenkins scored it across into the box. Yeah, Jenkins was offside. I'm going to say it. There's no VAR in the league. If your sideline official isn't in line with it and they miss it, that's all it is. Like, just... that's it, a split second, and the referee has to make this decision. And unfortunately, it cost Racing Louisville 3 points in this match, and it was a huge advantage to Orlando. But yes, Jenkins was offside.
Okay, all right, we got a take about it. But you know what? let's say is that a hometown call then? Maybe like is it a Daytona event type call? You know what I mean? Like, is it just like that? Is that what?
I think it was just like out of positioning. It wasn't like a lot, right? It wasn't like 5 yards offside. And honestly, when I watched the replay of it, the back line for Racing Louisville, I believe it was Bonner, Julia Lester, they also weren't like, yo, offside. Yeah. Like, as a defender, that's like the first thing I do when I don't see the flag go up, I don't hear the whistle and something happens. I'm like, this was offside. What's happening? But I think it was off. She was off.
I mean, listen, I don't disagree with you. I think there was it was a pretty generous call there, but I think it went by perhaps a way, like I said, in terms of like maybe it went the call the home side. You know, it's one of those things that cause a lot of excitement during the moment. But that's what's going to happen, unfortunately, when we don't have those, you know, those in-game technologies to sort of help kind of, you know, mitigate things when you need them, but splitting the points in this one. But we're going to talk about how that shakes out or what that looks like or means for these two clubs specifically later in the episode. And we're going to talk about standings a little bit, but another game that we want to talk about and sort of take a deeper dive on for everyone is the Angel City game versus Portland Thorns. It was a game we were there to sort of celebrate the kickoff of CONCACAF W qualifiers. We're really excited for the W championship that's going to be taking place on tomorrow. Quite frankly, it's here officially. You can watch all the games on Paramount Plus. We're going to be doing a lot of work to bring you all coverage and, you know, of the actual group stage, the semifinals, the final. We're going to be doing it all. So we were really excited to be out there and kind of hype it up and also chat a little bit about NWSL and like what's been happening across the league, you know, during this season so far. So it was great to have Brianna Scurry. It was great to have Karina LeBlanc. It was great to have, you know, president of Angel City and Julie Ehrman join us. Julie Foudy joined us for a little bit, like randomly across the event. So it was a lot of great energy, quite frankly, to sort of bear witness to ahead of kickoff. And maybe that set the tone a little bit, Lisa. Maybe we set the chaotic tone a little bit by going to LA and doing a live show, because when this game kicked off, immediate penalty call. Like
insane.
We were like, we just got here. Like we just got inside the stadium. We were like watching it.
We were a little tardy coming in, and we walk in and we're like,
don't move, stop walking, pay attention.
It we're was like we did get to see it. Great vantage point too. Like, so
this we were like crazy. Trying to find our seats, and it was like fantastic where we were. We're like, oh well, we're just gonna stand here and watch this moment unfold. Pretty funny. But I mean, one of these moments, I think for me watching it, and it was like, okay, is this a moment too early in the game for this Angel City side? You know, and it's one of these things where it's like when you get these types of moments in a game, you want to keep that momentum. You want to like you don't want to like let it go. You don't want to allow the other team to sort of allow them to play their way into the game. And when we did get to our seats and like really were taking a landscape of everything, it was just we were just like, is Portland going to do the thing?
So this game was there was a lot of factors that were influencing me. I mean, I got to sit next to you while we watched this game. We had the live show before. Like, I'm just going to be honest with everyone here.
Yeah, we both picked Angel City, right, for this game?
For me, I was like, we're going. Like, Angel City's got to win in this one. And they end up splitting the points, right, with Portland. But throughout this match, to be honest with everyone, this is the first NWSL game I have attended in person and also worked. Meaning I was not a fan watching this game in person. I was covering it. I was trying to analyze, which I do as a fan anyway. But so like before Attacking Third started, I would go to games. But when I call games, I'm not at games. I'm in a studio elsewhere remotely calling games. So to be able to watch this game from a great vantage point in an incredible stadium at Bank of California in Los Angeles with a fantastic crowd, a rowdy crowd, a large crowd, cheering for their home side in Angel City and being able to see the entirety of the field was very, very fun for me, because as Portland was building up the play, as this match started and unfolded, Angel City, they get the early penalty kick call. Savannah McCaskill, she ends up getting the goal. She takes the penalty kick for this one, and it actually ends up being saved by Shelby Hogan, Portland Thorns goalkeeper. And ultimately, it's the follow-up that comes back, and Savannah McCaskill is able to get the goal on this one. So it doesn't actually come from the penalty kick because it's saved by Shelby Hogan. Then ultimately, the play continues. And as the first 45 minutes is unfolding in this match, there was so much space in the weak side of the field and of the weak side of this game. Sandra, welcome back. For those watching live, she just left us. Now she's back. But as I was watching this game in person, I could see the full field. And as Portland is looking to build up the ball in this first half, it was all Angel City from what I could see. I mean, the weak side was so wide open. Portland wasn't utilizing the space on the pitch. Their weak side had just so much space. They weren't stretching. They were so condensed when they didn't have the ball and they were just defending. And as soon as the Thorns won it, they weren't stretching and pulling it out wide, which made it very easy for Angel City to counter press, win the ball back, and continue the attack. And Angel City really had a tremendous first 45 minutes, even like first 70 minutes. They played really, really well. And Portland at the very, very end of this match end up stealing it. It's the stoppage time, 90th minute plus sixth in the stoppage time. Portland gets the equalizer in this one. And as someone there watching, as from like a little bit of an Angel City perspective, heart-wrenching for Angel City in this one to see it kind of come to a close like that, because Didi Haricic, she made tremendous saves throughout this match for Angel City.
I think hearing you talk about that first half there and then sort of seeing how like they didn't get that go-ahead goal, or you know, were unable to sort of extend the scoreline, I just sort of feel like Angel City has found themselves in I think these similar scenarios before, where they've got the game in waves of momentum but are unable to just sort of hang on and hold on to that. And I think we saw that kind of fold out again in a game like this. I remember, you know, doing the live event and we were doing previews of multiple matches, but one of them was this one specifically. And I got asked like, who was a player to watch or who's going to be stepping up for the Thorns in the absence of so many key players for the Thorns, but specifically somebody like a Sophia Smith, who's been so integral to their attack. And I'm like, it's going to be Yasmin Ryan. Like she's coming off like a multi-assist game. Like she's been very slowly and very quietly putting together a solid resume with this team in her sophomore season in the NWSL. And
it's the link up in the end. Yes, it's the month for those players, the second year players that are itching to prove that they deserve that starting spot. And a player like Yasmin Ryan, right? Like Amina Ekic, she's on that role for Racing Louisville and yes, totally. Ryan for Portland Thorns, huge player.
We saw like some of these moments where the Thorns were like trying to make these, like being able to watch, I'll just put out like individual performances for me, like being able to watch June Endo live, phenomenal in person. Being able to see Sinhugita live, stupendous. Like we were both reacting to that with each other, like watching live. And I'm like, man, I will say this. It was a delight watching June Endo play, 100%. But I was also like, this player is going to be gassed by the end of this game. And we saw that. We saw a late game adjustment made because she was covering a ton of ground around this
very late, like 95th minute of this match, but still like a gassed. Like,
and I was just so like, much
work on and off the ball was Endo.
Yeah, so we were looking at that. We were looking at that in Angel City side. We're like, okay, Coach Frey Coombe, like, what are the adjustments you're going to make here? Like, when are we going to see them? You know, obviously we saw Sydney LaRue get a great reception as well. That was very cool to witness live. Again, outstanding atmosphere, which we have heard nonstop around this franchise since they kicked off in the Challenge Cup, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And to sort of see that carry over a little bit into the Bank of California Stadium, because that's not where they were initially playing their matches, but they haven't missed a beat. They haven't missed a step. So we can confirm reports that the vibes are good.
get out there to a game if you can.
100%.
The players are fun. The atmosphere is awesome. We got to see Sydney LaRue get her first minutes with Angel City, and hearing the crowd erupt as she just stands on the sideline near the halfway line. The stadium just started going crazy before her number was even announced, before it was announced she was going in. And that was a pretty special moment to experience live as well.
Yeah, it was incredibly, incredibly cool. I mean, you could see too, like her presence on the pitch, like brought another added layer for them in the attack. Just she wanted the ball. Like you could just tell right away. So I'm very excited to sort of maybe see how both of these teams move on from this draw during this long international break, because there's a number of players, I think, on both of these teams that are going to take it to that next level and step it up in some of those absences. So I'm very excited to, bear witness to that over these next coming weeks. We've got some more games to get through, though. We wanted to take the deeper dive on the big events this weekend across NWSL action. Stay tuned. We're going to let you all know our recap and our picks and our takes on the games after a quick break.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right. We've got more games to get through. Let's take a look at Houston Dash versus Kansas City Current. Listen, maybe we're going a little backwards here in this one because this was the game that kicked things off across the weekend on Friday. 2-1, Kansas City walking away with the win.
We both had Kansas City.
The energy in this one, 100%. Like from minute one all the way, I think, through, what was it? 9 minutes of stoppage time. Intense.
Insane. This game was very hectic. There was a lot happening. But between these two sides, it's Kansas City that ends up getting a penalty kick, right? Lola Bonta, she buries this one. It was a cross coming into the box, and Shea Groom ends up getting called for a handball and a yellow card at this point in the game. And she's ticked off. She's not happy about it. I think it's a handball when you watch this one. You can watch the highlights on Attacking Third YouTube. We've got full extended highlights, and her arm is extended away from her body. And as the cross comes in, like, she wasn't intentionally doing it, right? Like, she didn't stick her arm out to block it, but her arm wasn't connected to her body and the ball hit her arm. It's a penalty. Lola Bonta, she buries this one. That's heading into the halftime for Kansas City. Huge for them. But then they also get another one right before halftime. It's the final stoppage minutes of the first half. And Haley Mace, she buries a beautiful ball. The shot comes in from CeCe Kaiser, who recently got traded to Kansas City and has been doing so well. This was a huge move for Kansas City to get Kaiser. She was traded from Racing Louisville a few weeks ago. She gets the assist on this goal from Haley Mace. It's a beautiful cross, top of the box, and Mace is able to finish it and put this one away. And when we look at these two sides, Kansas City's been without their superstars all year. And Sam Uys, Lynn Williams, and perhaps that's been an advantage to them up until leading to this point, because they've had other players get so many consistent minutes, right? We've seen so much from players like Haley Mace, like Elise Bennett, the rookie, CeCe Kaiser getting a lot of minutes in that front line alongside Kristen Hamilton. And now when you look at a side like Houston, they're struggling without some of their superstars, right? No Nichelle Prince, no Rachel Daly. They're lacking a lot of players right now, and that hurt them. It was curious to see how they would line up. And Ebony Salmon, she gets the trade from Racing Louisville to Houston Dash. She ends up getting the start for Houston in the front line alongside with Groom. I like what I saw from Ebony Salmon. I'm going to be honest. I like what I saw getting in the attack on the back end. Great saves coming from AD France throughout this match. And
I'm with you on that.
Houston just forcing things. And ultimately, at the end of this one, the stoppage time, Houston forces an own goal against France, which was devastating. I think that's the first thing you said to me was, oh no, AD France.
We were reacting to it. I love reacting to these games with you, even off mic. I just thought it was an incredible performance by French for Kansas City in that, you know, granted you've mentioned a number of players for the current within this game specifically who had really good performances, but I mean, it's attacking third. We love clean sheets. We love defenders, right? We talk about that all the time. We love showing love to those types of players. And I just, this was one of those games where it just sort of felt like you have those games as a goalkeeper, right, where the game is coming to you, and it just sort of felt like this perhaps was maybe the energy for French in this game. We're coming up with some of these massive saves for the current in this one, so to sort of not just, you know, break the clean sheet, but the way in which it happened, the timeline in which it happened, you're talking about at the death, you know, in this game, it's a bummer, to put it lightly, but it's a win. It's all 3 points for Kansas City, and something that maybe we'll get to see them, you know, build on. I know this is a team that we're talking about individual performances, but we're also talking about maybe rosters of clubs that we want to see excel during this particular international window. And I know for the both of us, Kansas City is a team that we're keeping, trying to keep a closer eye on in terms of seeing maybe this is a stretch of time where they can go out there, go up against opposition and steal some results, steal some points. Would have loved a full, 90 or 90 plus 9 minute performance from them, but it doesn't always shake out like that. But loved the performance from French for this squad.
Huge. It really was a huge game, and she kept Kansas City in this match throughout its entirety. And Houston ends up, they do get on the board, right? But Kansas City gets the 3 points, and that's huge for the current at this point in the standings and this point in the season.
100%. You win Kansas City in this one, right? I love reminding the folks of the pick.
We both went Kansas City. We both had Kansas City winning.
Let's start off this next game with the picks, because I want you to absolutely gloat on this one, because this was my draw. We're talking about New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC versus Chicago Red Stars. This one kicked off on Saturday. Lisa, I know you chose Chicago, because whenever you choose the Red Stars, whenever you choose Chicago, it's like music to my ears, and I always remember it. And I'm like, yes.
I had a dominating Chicago in this one. You wanted draws for all of them. So I
draw for every single one.
You thought this one was going to be for sure the draw because it's what you picked. I'm not rubbing it in by any means.
I chose a draw for this game with confidence, fully exposing, 100%. I mean,
this was a huge game for Chicago because they were without Bianca St. George, without Mallory Pugh, and Mallory Pugh has been incredible for them. Without Alyssa Nair in goal, she's away with the U.S. national team as well. And the other forwards for Chicago said, cool, no big deal. I am very impressed with Sarah Luber. Very impressed with this player. She went on loan away from Chicago and learned so much. And any other league that you play in is not going to be comparable to the NWSL. But a player like that that goes to Mexico and can compete at that level, score a ton of goals, get her confidence up, and then come back to the NWSL and have a coach that in Chris Petroselli that says, hey, you're back. We're going to get you fit. We're going to get you ready. And then you're going to get minutes because we're seeing that from you. And the fact that Sarah Luber is able to get the opening goal for Chicago in this match is huge because that's a confidence for her, right? We're talking about these players throughout this international window that are going to have to step up. And Luber is one of them. I think Ellis Stevens as well for Chicago.
Yeah, that's been a great game. A
player that had a great game and will continue to improve over these next few weeks.
I think we're looking at certain players specifically across the league, right? During this window that we have a feeling that this is their time, mm-hmm. right? So often two things have to combine and collide and this collision happens and all of a sudden like it sets something off and you have to have the opportunity, the right opportunity and just the right timing. And it just sort of feels like there's certain players that are going to be able to get out there and get their runs in and sort of make things happen. And I feel like we're looking at maybe some of these players within the 2020 draft class specifically that kind of had an unusual rookie year in 2020. where there was only the inaugural Challenge Cup, where there was only the fall series. And I'm absolutely looking at somebody like Ella Stevens. She was a player that the Red Stars drafted that I was high on, you know, when they drafted her, kind of like a player who fell a little lower, I think, in the draft boards, but also sort of had a little bit of a, you know, there was a concept of like not so much high risk, high reward, but a player that still needed maybe some extra time to work on things in order to adjust and transition to that pro level, which we hear about a lot from even players within this league, that once you get here, it's like nothing you've ever experienced before. So to see somebody like Ella Stevens be tasked with a very specific role in a very specific system for the Red Stars, I think that's what's leading to a lot of the success on the pitch for this team. They've already gone through that. That whole narrative of Mal Pugh and, oh, what are they going to do without Mal? They started the season without her.
I know.
This is not unfamiliar territory for this Chicago Red Stars team.
Right. Three games into the Challenge Cup, she got hurt or something.
So, seeing this team go out there and get a result, get a win, maybe shouldn't be too surprising at this point for perhaps neutrals who are watching the league, but it definitely isn't surprising to those players in that locker room. No. It's not, like I said, it's just not unfamiliar territory for them. And the fact that they were without Nair and you had somebody like Emily Boyd step up and have a massive game, it was a great weekend for keepers. For me personally, I loved witnessing some of this stuff out there. Emily Boyd making it an incredibly difficult day for Gotham FC. And Lisa, we got to talk about it on the Gotham side of things. This is another multi-goal loss for this team this year. Where's Gotham going next after this?
This is rough for Gotham, right? And also center back defender for New Jersey, New York, Gotham, Gina Lewandowski announcing her retirement. So she gets to start in center back alongside Allie Krieger. But now as they move forward, they're losing players, which I don't blame her. I mean, congrats to Lewandowski on a tremendous career, professional career that she has had. But now, I mean, Gotham's struggling, right? Like, they cannot string things together. And you picked in this match, like, you were like, hey, this is going to be a game for Paige Monahan. She's going to get one. It's going to be a breakthrough. And
she's had good games against the Chicago Red Stars.
We want good things for Gotham. And
what's happening? She's had, I allowed history to influence me a little bit in the draw too, because I've seen in recent history, quite frankly, because this, you know, Sky Blue, formerly Sky Blue, now Gotham FC team had started to kind of close the gap a little bit in terms of their series matchup against the Red Stars. And it really did sort of start turning a little bit for them in 2019. I mean, they handed the Red Stars losses in their greatest season in history. And because of those losses in 2019, the Red Stars did not win the Shield in 2019. That's just fact. There's no cap on that. They didn't win. They didn't beat that Sky Blue team, a team that they should have on paper, and they didn't get the Shield. And we saw Gotham also have competitive matches against Chicago last year specifically. And Paige Monahan was one of these players that maybe you could see some good performances from against, and knowing that they had the ability to maybe, you know, cancel some things out in the middle between them. But that didn't happen in this game. It was a delight. Listen, I don't care about a pick. When Chicago wins, I'm happy. So that's it on that. That's it on that for me. That's a win. And for one whole day, Lisa, they were on top of the standings. They were.
I hope you took a screenshot, Sandra, because
someone, Chicago logo 134 has got my back. I'm sure they put it out there across Twitter and social media to see. I loved it. It was nice to see. Let's to close it out and chat a little bit about San Diego Wave FC versus Washington Spirit. Lisa, the picks in this one.
For this one, hold on, I gotta pull up my notes. Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. San Diego,
you had San Diego and I had a draw between these two sides.
Listen, I'm not gonna gloat. I wanted technically draws for every single one of these games, but I remember listening to you on the preview talk about your reasoning for draw, and I was like, that makes a lot of sense in this one. We're gonna see how it shakes out. Not the last one, obviously. I just saw your note, Lisa, but we're going to talk about San Diego first. Abby Dahlkemper back in this one. She's had a little bit of an absence. She's been navigating a back injury. She's been dealing with some injury with San Diego Wave. We're talking about two goals for this team, all in the first half. And then Washington making things interesting, but a little too late in the game in this one. So what were some of your takes from this match?
Yeah, I mean, I think big question marks heading into this game were about how these two sides would fare, right? When you look at Washington, they're without so many key players, nearly eight of their starters are not here for this Washington side. So things change, but having Jordan Baggett back for her first game back since the Challenge Cup final for Baggett was huge to see a player like that come back. And then when we look at the San Diego side, you mentioned it with Boyd and Chicago and goalkeepers. This is a huge time for goalkeepers because so many coaches vouch for their keepers on their rosters and say that they would be starters any other team that they play on, but they just play behind an incredible, incredible starter. I mean, we look at Alyssa Nair for Chicago. We look at Caitlin Sheridan for San Diego. These are Olympians. And to have someone like Carly Telford playing behind Caitlin Sheridan at San Diego in training, you're learning so much from them. But Telford it's going to be very hard for her to beat out Sheridan. So in these moments, we see goalkeepers stepping in Devin Kerr along behind Aubrey Bledsoe for Washington Spirit and Carly Telford for San Diego in this match. And these are incredible goalkeepers, right? Like, that's the thing. There's no drop off to me in what these goalkeepers can do. They have a very different skill set than the first string goalkeepers for these sides, but ultimately, like, the shot stopping abilities, how they can play with the team, even playing out with their feet, is still really impressive to see from Kerr and from Carly Telford. So this is a match where we saw two new goalkeepers, or rather not first string goalkeepers, for these two sides. And I was really impressed with it. But for this San Diego side, I mean, Mackenzie Doniak, she gets the opening goal for them in the first half. And then they get the second one in the stoppage time of this first half. And it was breakdowns defensively for Washington, which was how San Diego was able to get these goals. And frankly, that's something on the Spirit defense, right? Like, that's bad for them. And maybe that's a big hole with Emily Sonnet not there, and even Aubrey Kingsbury in goal not being there. Like, those are certain things that I am paying attention to, because Sam Staub is still the center back for Washington, and she's a tremendous center back. So the communication there and finding those breakdowns is something that Chris Ward is going to have to focus on. And I know he is, right? Like, he cares a lot about defense. That's one thing that Sam Staub told us way back in the preseason, is that they were actually doing defending drills and working on that. So I don't imagine that this spell for Washington will stick around too long, where defensive errors are slip-ups happening. But, right, they've got Karina Rodriguez, who's a rookie, in that back line. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for her and for the Spirit.
Yeah, I think when we were making our picks in this one, going back to thinking about whether it was me going with the Wave, you going with the draw, and just making a note of all of those absences for the Spirit, and just sort of seeing like, well, it's the NWSL. It's still going to be a competitive game. We're going to be able to maybe see some new, get some different looks at players that we don't normally get to see in extended minutes for the Spirit specifically. But I got to say, I think in this one, what I really appreciated the most in this one is just, and maybe this is sort of me echoing a similar sentiment with that Chicago game, but I'm just really loving what Casey Stoney is doing with this team right now. We're talking about being able to handle the challenges in front of you, right? Looking at them as opportunities, you know, losing a pretty big chunk of or an important piece in your back line, and somebody like a Naomi Girma having a pretty outstanding rookie year so far, has pretty much anchored that back line throughout the duration of this first half of the season.
And it's now to the country.
And yeah, no kidding. And then it did sort of, and then you don't have Jakobsen, you don't have Morgan, and then to sort of just instill this kind of, you know, confidence and belief in your other rookies, your other younger player, you know, somebody like a Kelsey Turnbow, who's starting to see, you know, a little bit more time with San Diego as well. So I am appreciative of that and what we're witnessing from any adjustments or lack thereof from coaches. And I see that's also an area that we're keeping an eye on as well during this international break. What are the coaches going to be doing during this long stretch of time on the pitch with the roster that they have? And I think for me, that's going to be one of the more impressive things that we keep an eye on, or one impressive, one of the more important things that we keep an eye on too, alongside looking at some of these really cool performances and stuff like that for some of these players who are eager to sort of snatch this opportunity during this time. What are the coaches doing? I was a little bit surprised too. Like when we saw the starting lineup in this one, I would have really loved to have seen Amir Ali get a start, but yeah. Didn't see that. So like right away, I'm like, okay, like what is Casey Stoney going for? Like, what is she doing? And she knows what she's doing. This team went out there and took care of business for the most part in the first half.
Great goals, right? Like defensively, they counter-press against Washington. They win the ball back early, and then it's ball movement and passing and maybe not having those superstars, whether it's Alex Morgan or Sophia Jakobsen, even Taylor Korniak in the midfield, we're going to see different looks from these teams. And for San Diego, we saw not a lot of individual players trying to be the superstars, right? It was a lot of one-two touch passes, get the ball out from under you, keep it moving, force Washington to defend and run all over the place. And then the spaces open up. And that's how their two goals came in the first half. It was quickly win the ball back, get the ball moving. Great, great team goals from the San Diego side.
All right, yeah, I'm with you. Listen, we got one more to get through. I got ahead of myself here when we got into the San Diego Wave game because I was eager to talk about their performances. But All Reign versus North Carolina Courage, we got a victory for All Reign, and not just any victory, Lisa. We got a multi-goal game victory.
I did not see it coming.
2-0 against North Carolina Courage. Lisa, let the good folks know what the picks were in this one.
I had North Carolina winning this one. Thought they were going to get back on track. And you had OL Reign. You predicted it, Sandra. Congratulations. We saw the return of Kim Little. She got the start for Laura Harvey's side. Only 45 minutes from Little, but a great 45 minutes. We're in for an exciting season. This is what OL Reign does, right? Like they start the year and they not go through the motions, but it's this slow buildup, this plateau that we've seen. And there were so many shots on goal over the last few weeks and so many opportunities created and just not a lot of goals scored. And thankfully they have Fallon-Tolis Joyce in goal who can keep OL Reign and save their butts a lot of time, keep them in games. And now we got Jess Fishlock getting a goal, Bethany Balser getting a goal. They both each get an assist in this match. This was a very pretty game for OL Reign. I bet Laura Harvey is very happy about this one.
Yeah, I would imagine so, right? I think the other thing too is like the other thing that we're keeping an eye on. So we're talking about player performances during this time. We're saying that here at Attacking Third, we're also, you know, taking a look at the coaches and seeing what they're going to be doing during this time with the rosters in front of them. But we got to take a look at some of these results that happened during this July window, because what's going to happen during this July window is there are going to be some teams that hit the halfway point of their season. And it's a very important part of the season that you got to pay attention to, because things start looking different in that second half of the season. So I'm thrilled for OL Reign. I'm thrilled because I made the pick. I'm thrilled, you know, because I'm sure that Laura Harvey is absolutely, you know, thrilled to get this. But I think the Reign are one of these teams that are, you know, taking note of that. They're a team that has experience in postseasons, and they know that the season is a long one and you have to sort of run the table a certain kind of way. But this is what you want during this time, especially during this time when you know you're going to be facing oppositions that are not going to have their key players in the mix. Courage is one of those squads that is missing a number of players, key players, typical starters, off on international duty, and you want to be able to take advantage of that. So the fact that it's Fishlock and Balser serving up these goals and getting them through the back of the net, I think bodes well for them. I want to see more of it. We want to see more consistency in terms of the attack for this team. So good for that. Enjoyed that. Something that we want to close out on, though, that we were teasing during the show. We want to talk about the standings. We're going to run through them because it's a new month. It's a brand new month. And we're going to take a look at the standings because we did this when things closed out in May. And we wanted to pay attention to how things would look a little bit different as the season progresses. And they definitely look a little bit different now. As of this moment, when we're looking at the standings, comparing them to May, there is still San Diego that's on top of the standings. That's like perhaps the one consistent thing here. But as of this weekend's slate of games, number one, San Diego Wave FC. Number two, Chicago Red Stars. Number three, Portland Thorns FC. Number four, OL Reign. Number five, Houston Dash. Number six, Angel City FC. And when we're looking at the latter half of the table, it's at number seven with Kansas City Current, Racing Louisville FC at number eight, Washington Spirit at number nine, number 10, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, number 11, Orlando Pride, and number 12 is North Carolina Courage. So things are changing a little bit. You know, number one, still San Diego. Angel City went from number two to number six.
And North Carolina,
Orlando Pride have obviously dropped in that latter half. They were number six back in May. So
North Carolina is still number 12, though. I think that's really
the top important. And the bottom are the same. Bottom
have stayed the exact same. San Diego is at the top of North Carolina at the bottom. We also saw Kansas City climb, right? They were 11 about a month ago, and now they're seven. So there's been a lot of movement. OL Reign, not too much movement there. Chicago's jumped up, which we knew was going to happen. But I think the two most surprising moves for me are between San Diego staying at the top and North Carolina staying at the bottom, frankly.
Like the two consistencies. We just wanted to talk about it and bring it up and say, like, here's some things that changed, but here are some things that have actually remained the same. So we just wanted to run those down and keep everybody updated on what to look ahead for during this next stretch of games during this month in July. We're going to be here with you all to continue talking about NWSL action, even though there's a million T games happening during July, and you can watch nearly all of them on Paramount Plus. Stay tuned for all that good CONCACAF W championship action. Thanks everybody so much for joining us and listening to Attacking Third. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at Attacking Third. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe and visit youtube.com/attackingthird. And we will be back covering the CONCACAF W championship in depth, U.S. versus Haiti, tomorrow on Paramount Plus. We're going to have a live recap of the match. So come and hang out with us. We're going to get some insight from Lori Lindsay on YouTube after the game for Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman. This was Attacking Third.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.